Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Deeper. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. And before we get started, I do just want to apologize for some of the technical errors on our last episode, in case you didn't listen to it. Basically, the recording software decided to take all of our content, all 35 minutes, I think, was what it was finally, and squeeze it into about 25 minutes. And so it just randomly picked parts to speed up so that it fit. Don't know why that happened, but we do think we fixed it, so I do apologize for some of that. But we are back again on the fruits of the spirit, Dan. And if last week tested my patience, we now have an opportunity to go into faithfulness. So could you just refresh our memory on what we talked about faithfulness?
Yeah, it's good to be with everyone again today. And yes, I talk quickly, but not quite that quickly, as you might have heard on the previous one. I said, I don't think I'm that fast. But no, it's good to be back and talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I really have enjoyed this series. We have a couple of weeks still left, and we're talking about faithfulness this past week. And so we talked about how this does get into the side of how we relate to others and God as well, this kind of reliability, dependability, trustworthiness in our lives. And really, we kind of summed it up by saying this keeping commitments in our relationships, which kind of helped me grasp kind of a larger view of what this is getting at in our lives. Keeping those commitments that we have and make, whether it's I said this and I need to follow through, whether it's I've committed to being in this role, so I need to be faithful in doing that, just keeping those commitments. And of course, as we do every week, with good reason, this flows back to who God is, right? He's the faithful one. And just kind of immersing ourselves in that again and being reminded how this is who he is, and he shows it over and over again. And even that passage from Timothy that was shared in the service, Sarah read that during the service, that even if we're faithless, he will remain faithful because he can't disown himself. This can't be separated from God. And so just to realize that for me to live this way, I have to know his faithfulness and rejoice at it and just wonder at it and let it have its impact on me, really, and then strive to live that way too. So, yeah, just always good. I hope it's practical week to week. These things do speak right into our lives, but it always goes back to the character of God.
Well, and I really appreciated, especially this week, that whole God is faithful. He is reliable. And we live in a world that is so unreliable, unfaithful, inconsistent, constantly changing. And so to have that sense of stability that, no, God is faithful no matter what happens on this earth, that was something I really appreciated you mentioning and bringing up. Was there anything that you wanted to talk about on Sunday that you did not necessarily bring up?
Yeah, so that's just a really good point too, Austin, just about God's stability. Because we all are looking for that in the world, we want surety, and sometimes we even create stories to try and make things more sure for us, make things seem more firm, but to know God is that solid rock. He's faithful, he's reliable, he's dependable. That I think that message goes a long way for us, and even as we're maybe witnessing to the world. But one thing just to connect with, we talk about in our relationships with our neighbors being reliable, and one of the things we mentioned was commitments and keeping those commitments. And we talked about that, whether it's here at church, if I'm a member of the church, keeping that commitment, if I'm married, and that. And something I didn't mention but I had thought of was that when it comes to our commitments, we might need to be careful about how many we're making. Because if I want to be faithful to what I've committed to, if I'm overcommitting, that's going to make that maybe impossible. I'm not going to always be able to be everywhere. I can't commit to everything. Sometimes we do need to say, no, I'm not able to do that. If I'm going to do it, I need to do it well and be reliable, dependable, trustworthy in it. And I'm not going to be able to do that given my other commitments. Yeah. And I think that's okay. And we have to respect when other people say that, especially with that reasoning. It's not just a laziness. It's, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it well. And so that might be something to keep in mind, too, that we didn't mention specifically. Part of being faithful might be saying no at times.
Yeah. Well, and that's good stewardship. It's good stewardship of your own time and energy and ability.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's admitting I'm not God. I am finite.
Which is where it becomes difficult.
Yes. I can only do so much. So, Yeah, just another connection with that point we had made there. So
yeah, well, thank you, Dan. I did also think it was really interesting how you talked about being faithful and reliable in our speech. You were talking about how our content, our tone, our humility, these are all really important things in making sure that we are reliable, consistent, and dependable. But it is, like you said, it's really hard sometimes, especially on social media, to make sure that I am being faithful and reliable, to make sure that the content I'm sharing is faithful and reliable and humble. So this might not necessarily be explicitly a theology question, but if you can find a way to make it that, I would love that. But what advice do you have for people who are trying to make sure they're being faithful and reliable with the content they share on social media? Do you have any social media literacy advice for us in this vein?
Yeah, you might be more attuned to this than I am, Austin, a few years younger than me, too. But, you know, it makes me think of how, of course, in Scripture it talks about taming the tongue and how quickly our speech that way can get us into trouble and how quickly sometimes we say something without thinking about it. And I think you can take that to an extra level when it comes to social media, because sometimes we're just sitting by ourselves in front of whatever device we're using. We don't have even the check of, I'm looking you in the eye, Austin, and we're talking about this. So if I can get into trouble very quickly in that situation, how much more if I'm just kind of in the privacy of my home and I've read a bunch of other things that fire me up and I'm going to respond in kind, or I'm going to say, yeah, this is something I think needs to be heard, even if I don't have any verification of the honesty or truth of it. So maybe just first and foremost being aware of how dangerous this is for us, how easy it is to get off, you know, off the track, be non-faithful, honest, truthful in what we're sharing and communicating there, because I can do this easily speaking, let alone in this forum. And yeah, there's different things, ways you can check. And again, you might have some more ideas on this too. Kind of try and do a little more research. So I hear this, and the danger comes, I want it to be true, right? Because it fits my mainframe, my outlook on things. And that's where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to share that right away. But maybe take a moment to say, well, is that right? Did that really happen? Was that in context even? Maybe it's an actual quote, but was that taken out? We do that even with Scripture at times. So you can kind of check. I mean, if somebody was giving a speech, for instance, usually you can find the whole transcript of a speech, right, and go through and say, oh, this was being said here. And
here's the context.
I know we think a lot of this politically right now, and that's kind of the area we swim in, and it's really tense and very, you know, a lot of us are really interested. I'll use maybe a slightly less intense example that I just saw yesterday. I'm a sports fan. I'm a Chicago Bears fan, unfortunately. They're not the greatest.
You know, Jesus loves everyone, though, right. So there's room for everyone in heaven.
That's good to know. But the Bears had some controversy this past week. You know, their one defensive player, they gave up a Hail Mary at the end of the game to lose the game, and he was, while the play was going on, talking to the crowd, and it went viral and all this, and so there was all this conversation about, you know, was he going to play this week? Were they going to bench him? Well, a story comes out on Sunday, you know, it's reported that, yeah, when they told him that he wasn't going to start on Sunday, he left. He left the facility. Everybody's like, oh, man, you know, can't believe it, this and that. Well, then one of the beat reporters who works with the team said, well, it's not the whole story. He went out for a few minutes to gather himself because that was hard news to hear, and then came back into the meeting, and they kind of went forward. It's like, oh, well, that sounds quite a bit different. You know, you get this kind of sensational thing. And that's really what we deal with, headlines.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's these, whatever, you know, tweets or posts on Facebook or whatever it might be come our way, just to pause and say, all right, is that when I'm communicating? Or if it's just me generating something, is this coming out of just what I'm feeling and I'm really upset right now and I'm just going to spurt some things out? Or is this something that, you know, is connected to some honest truth? And or if it is opinion, you can state that too, obviously, as well. But, yeah, you have some thoughts, Austin. You probably swim in this water a little more than I do.
I swim in it a little too much sometimes. I really appreciated the way of how you mentioned, like, looking beyond the headlines. And I think that there's something spiritual to this, too, in that, you know, the headline of our faith is that Jesus has come to save us from sin. But the subtext to that is that we are all sinful just by virtue of being us. And there's so much more to that story, and there's so much more to why Jesus is coming to save us and what he has done to do the saving of us than what just the simple headline is. So as with our faith into politics, into sports, I always encourage just let's always take a few moments and look deeper. Look deeper into scripture. Look deeper into the news transcripts. Look deeper into, you know, this guy came back afterwards after he cooled off. So that's just something I think that can really make a big difference in your reliability of your speech, is taking the time to make sure you understand the context and that you don't speak too quickly, because there is nothing that degrades your reliability than speaking so quickly that and then being proven desperately wrong afterwards.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom in regards to our communication. And, you know, sometimes points out, you know, even the fool seems wise if they keep their mouth shut, right?
And there's something to that.
Yeah, because if the more we're saying, and here we are on a podcast, so acknowledging that. But
at least we're self-aware.
But the more we say at times, and, you know, the more we can get into this trap. And even for sometimes people understand, like, oh, well, you know, you're saying so much, we're not taking it too seriously. Or we're always saying these things. There's never a counterbalance to it, right? And people have a hard time then saying, like, oh, clearly there's got to be some other viewpoint. But it's, like, always presented one way. And so that's, I think, to think about, too. It's a good word, Austin, of, you know, just care with our speech and communication. And that count to 10 rule is a good one. Always
so
has
practical.
Been. Whether it's speaking or posting, whatever it might be. So,
well, and, you know, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, I think, are just really good for helping keep that reliability up. One of the challenges, though, is that if you have lost your reputation for faithfulness, so you are now known as not being faithful or reliable, but you are unfaithful, unreliable, you don't follow through, it can be really difficult to rebuild that. And I think all of us at some point have been that. I know I, for myself, am constantly working at being more reliable. It's something that I was not always good at. I am not still always good at, and I will continue to get better at in the future. But it can be really hard to rebuild that. So what advice would you have for folks hoping to revitalize their faithfulness in this context?
Yeah, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? Kind of deal with... when you've kind of burned that bridge or torn it down, it's tough to rebuild. And but in some ways, we're always trying to do that, because probably at some point we've all let someone down. We didn't show up when we said we would. We weren't honest in our speech or whatever it might be. Maybe understanding that it doesn't just happen with a snap. You know, it does take time, especially with the people that we have let down, that we've not been reliable or faithful with. Understandably, it's going to take some time to build that trust back up, and we can't make them trust us or, you know, see that. All we can do is try to work on how we're going about things now, and maybe sometimes admitting that can go a long way too. Like, yes, I admit I was not faithful in that. I was not reliable, and I'm trying to learn from that, and I'm trying to be now more this way. Because, yeah, all you can do is control your actions in this case. And but I think sometimes we get ahead and want to say, like, well, you know, I have turned the corner. I do see things differently now. Why don't you give me this responsibility now? Why won't you rehire me for this job? You know, see, I've turned a new leaf. And to understand, yeah, we live in a human world, and that kind of takes some time often. And not that there wouldn't be other opportunities, but especially with the people who experience my unfaithfulness, it's not easy for them to get past that.
Yeah, and I think I love that point of, like, this is something that will take time. We are not patient beings.
No.
I'm not patient myself. I find it difficult to be patient with myself and with others. And so I think just as we are, you know, if you are someone who is trying to rebuild that reputation, know that you're in it for the long haul. It will take a while to rebuild. But also, that's kind of the whole point of reliability, is it's demonstrated over a period of time.
Yes.
And that faithfulness is something that can take a lifetime to develop. And that's not a bad thing. Because what a opportunity for your testimony to be built mm-hmm. in that over time. Like, yeah, you messed up. I know for someone who's done this in the past, I've messed up. I'm still working on rebuilding mm-hmm. that with certain people. But it gives me opportunities to keep speaking into their lives and being a testimony and saying, I'm doing this because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's just, something that can be helpful and encouraging for you if you're going through that.
Yeah. That humility as well, as we are, you know, rebuilding or always building in this, to understand we're always going to pale in comparison to the Lord, right? He is the faithful one. We're just trying to reflect his character, and we want to do it well. We don't want to be unreliable. We want to strive for this. We want to show that fruit in our lives. But that humility to understand, you know, I am probably going to miss some things, even sometimes without trying. And other times I will maybe deliberately not keep some commitments or things like that. That too, talking that way, I think we're more willing to be forgiving of each other. But there are times when major repairs are needed. People have given us second and third opportunities, and we've missed the mark each and every time, right? And that, just because I say, well, I'm reliable now, doesn't mean that they're going to say, well, okay, great, I believe you. They're going to need to see it over mm-hmm. a course of time. And that is, it's a lifelong, all these things are lifelong learning characteristics.
And I think that's something that is really important to remember as we look at these other fruit of the Spirit, because I feel like this is the one that is the easiest to see. Yeah, this takes a lifetime mm-hmm. to build and perfect and improve upon. And the others sometimes feel like it can be, oh yeah, you know, every few weeks, or I can do something that demonstrates this. It's like, no, these are all lifestyle, lifelong attitudes and approaches that we need to be maintaining.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we come back to this often in the podcast for good reason, but this is why the community matters too, because in my life, being around people who maybe exhibit these characteristics in a more mature way than I do has often encouraged me, made me more thoughtful to think, huh, how can I do that a little better? I can learn from this person. They're way more loving, thoughtful about that than I am. They are dependable, reliable, faithful people. Maybe I need to relook at how I'm making my commitment. You know, go down the list. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm just in myself, often my grading scale is a little curved about me.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Well, maybe being in community, we're sharpening each other. As scripture says. And so that's an important piece too. We learn this together.
Absolutely. And speaking of community, one of the things that I feel we don't do as often as we should is encourage and uplift and honor people who do hold these virtues. So we talk a lot, especially in these last few podcasts, we've been talking about how can I develop this? Mm. What can I do to improve this? But there are people who have these fruits that are living their life and living it well and living these fruits well. And it's really important that we acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for us? What are some good ways that we can honor and encourage people who are both demonstrably faithful and reliable and hold all these other gifts that we've been talking about, these fruit that we've been talking about?
Yeah, could come in any way with these things. I think that's really good. We mentioned it just a little bit this past week too, but just having that encouragement, because we want to encourage the good, right? Scripture points to that. And sometimes it's just maybe expressing some appreciation. I think of the context of ministry here in the church. And sometimes you might be someone who's a part of a ministry or leading in that. And there's just someone who's just faithful in this case, right? They just always are there. They're maybe a leader or a teacher. And, you know, sometimes you can take it for granted that person is going to be that way. We need to express our appreciation, our thankfulness, and our encouragement. Like, you know, I just want to tell you that you're so thankful. You write them a card, or maybe there's a small gift you get. I don't know, but just to encourage, like, this is a fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that you are living that way. And like I said, none of us want to be, for the most part, put on blast on a Sunday morning, brought up like, you're the most faithful one here, or anything like.
We don't necessarily all like having the spotlight on ourselves.
Which is good. That's part of the humility.
Well, for those of us who do like having the spotlight on ourselves, we need to get better at not having that.
Sure, sure. But there's ways to do it where it's not that way.
Yep.
It's just encouraging. And people will do that with us, too. Sometimes we're staff positions just letting us know they're thankful for the
Absolutely.
Work we're doing. And that's really good. That's part of this encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know somebody who's, boy, this person just, they walk in the room, we feel the peace, right? Or I've seen the patience in this, and I'm really thankful for it. I've been a beneficiary of it. Well, encourage them. I let them know, like, that's God at work.
Yeah. And it will probably be a little uncomfortable if this is not a habit you're used to doing. Encouragement like this is not something we're good at in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will probably be a little awkward to be like, hey, just so you know, I noticed that you're really good. Like, it can feel awkward and uncomfortable.
Mm.
But also, how are we going to change that unless we do it?
Yeah.
So
you can make it a goal, right? And sometimes it starts by measuring, like, how many of my communications are critical of someone and versus how many are the positive side of an encouragement. And just working to balance that or to say, I am going to encourage one person this week.
Right.
You know, whatever that is going to look like. You know, it might be good to set goals and to say, like, yeah, I want to be looking for that way to encourage that. And that's, like I said, I use the example even with my own kids. It's so easy to be like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You say you're doing that all the time versus, hey, that was really, really good. The way you did this with your brother or sister, or the way we saw you in the classroom lifting somebody else up or helping them out. Like, we want to encourage that. Be like, yeah, that's good. Keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So let alone we're adults, we still need that encouragement.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. What can we be looking forward to next week?
Yes, this coming Sunday is gentleness, Lord willing. And so, a bit of a different kind of piece. You can feel some of the overlap with, of course, like love, and we said a lot of these tie together. But, yeah, what does that look like? Especially, I think, in a lot of cultures over time, and I would say often even in ours, it's not something that's maybe looked at as a very positive trait, like, oh, you're just going to get run over.
You're too gentle.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing.
You need to be a bit rougher with it.
Yes, right, or you got to be, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. So what are we talking about here? Jesus calls himself gentle. I am gentle and humble of heart. So clearly this is something he owned for himself and as a positive thing. And this word comes up in a few different contexts as well. So, but what are we talking about there, and why is it so important? We'll talk about that next Sunday morning.
A lot of good stuff coming up. Well, thank you, Dan, again for your time. Thank you all for listening. And we look forward to seeing you again next week.